Right. Our next presentations are from the members of the ACOC committee. We'll start with Deirdre setting a new standard and then potential impact of RDA on OPAC displays. So this is our RDA session. Deirdre Kiergaard works at the National Library of Australia, where she's responsible for bibliographic standards and strategy and represents the library on a variety of standards-related groups. She is a member of ACOC and represents ACOC on the Joint Steering Committee for the Revision of AACR, also known as JSC, and we're going to have to shorten that name. In October 2005, Deirdre was elected chair of JSC. And the second paper will be by Anne Huthwaite and Philip Hyder. Anne is the Library Resources Services Manager at QUT. Anne has been a member of ACOC since 1992. From 1995 to 2003, she was the Australian representative on JSC and was the chair of this committee from 1999 until the end of her term in 2003. Philip is a senior lecturer in the School of Information Studies at Charles Sturt University. He holds a Master of Librarianship degree from the University of Wales and a PhD from City University. Philip worked at the British Library from 1995 to 97 and in Singapore from 97 to 2003. He is an ALIA representative on ACOC and a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Library and Information Professionals. Please welcome Deirdre.
It's a pity we didn't have a bit of time for questions and answers with Pat Scott, because I've got to say there are a few things we've been experimenting with at the National Library that are along the same lines, with using index map sheets and connecting our records in collections. So I hope we have a talk about that later. But today I'm here to talk about resource description and access. RDA is a new standard for description and access, and it will replace the Anglo-American Cataloguing Rules, or AACR, in 2008. Today I'm more or less going to give you an update on progress towards the publication of RDA, and also answer hopefully some of your questions on RDA. If we don't have time at the end, I will be around at the lunch break or whatever. I'm going to talk about where AACR and RDA fit within the world of library standards, and why we decided that a new standard was needed, why just updating AACR wasn't going to be enough. I'll tell you a little about the models behind RDA, and we've had them mentioned a bit today already, and also the issues we're facing in developing RDA. Then I'll run through what it looks like, its structure, content, and I'll talk about the group who's developing RDA and the stakeholders we've been consulting and the timeframe that we're working within. And I'll try and talk a little bit at the end about how it might affect you. So before we look at RDA, I'd like to remind you a little of the history of AACR, the standard that RDA will be replacing. Which of these covers do you recognise? I did actually make a joke when I did a similar presentation that if you remembered the 1967 version, perhaps it was time to retire, but I found there were a number of people in the audience who did. The Anglo-American Cataloguing Rules were first published in 1967 in separate editions for Britain and North America. The 1967 edition had as its basis the Paris Principles that were developed at a conference in 1961, and Martha referred to them this morning. It took until 1978 for AACR2 to be published as a single edition, and soon after it began to be adopted by Australian libraries. And the National Library of Australia, for example, adopted AACR2 in 1981. Today, AACR2 is the most widely used standard for descriptive cataloguing in the English-speaking world, and it's also been translated into 24 other languages. This slide puts AACR and RDA in a bit of context with some related standards. I could have filled this slide up 10 times over. RDA, like AACR, will primarily be a content standard. That means it focuses on the data elements used to describe a resource's content and physical carrier. It'll also cover the choice and formulation of access points and citations. Now, for many years, we used to seeing AACR data elements packaged into MARC records to enable record sharing. RDA likewise will be able to be encoded in MARC, but it's really independent of any communication format, and so it can be used with other encoding standards. The major new content to be added to RDA will be on reflecting relationships and on authority control. It still won't cover subject description or classification or how to create identifiers. People have asked for it to do that, but it's not going into those areas. As with AACR, those elements will continue to be covered by other content standards. And RDA is going to be built on the FRBR and FRAR conceptual models, and I'll talk a bit more about that later. As I noted earlier, AACR has been revised and maintained as a standard for many years. By 1997, it was proving difficult to revise AACR 2 to keep up with changes in the information world, and it was clear that there were some inherent problems in the code. At the conference mentioned in this slide, experts were invited to share in developing an action plan for the future of AACR. Martha Yee, our keynote speaker here today, gave a well-received paper at that conference on what is a work. From the recommendations of that meeting, a program of work was implemented, and in 2002 a new strategic plan was developed which built on AACR2's existing strengths. That plan took AACR2 through a range of revisions till around 2004, and important changes, for example in the treatment of serials or seriality, were implemented over that time. Very dry. However, it was realised that all the changes that were needed couldn't be made within the existing structure of AACR. Planning then began for what was at first known as AACR 3. The first full draft of AACR 3 Part 1 on description was made available for comment in December of 2004. And the reaction to that draft came as a surprise. We'd expected some resistance to change, and we were not disappointed in that regard. But what surprised us was the amount of support for even greater change. And that led to a rethink and a change of direction. Now we're planning to make a more radical change to the content, structure, and style of the standard. Also, until that point, we'd been trying to simultaneously revise AACR2 while preparing drafts of AACR3. But to allow us to concentrate our efforts on the new standard, from 2005, we ceased revision of AACR2. To signify the change in direction, a new title for the standard was agreed. That's when it came to be known as RDA, Resource Description and Access. It's a new standard for description and access designed for the digital world. By digital world, we mean three things. It will provide instructions for the description of all types of resources, including digital and online. The descriptions themselves will be used in the digital environment, in web-based catalogues, and in resource discovery services of other types. And finally, the standard itself will be a web-based tool. It won't be a print tool, as it is now. RDA will also be developed with an awareness of the cost of creating resource descriptions. It'll address this in a few ways. It will allow for the use of pre-existing metadata. It will simplify the metadata needed, particularly for online resources. And the instructions will be easier to learn and to apply. At the opposite end of the spectrum, there are also new sources of metadata, and Pat was referring to some of these today. Things like publishers' metadata, table of contents, reviews and so on. And they can be used to enrich the metadata supplied by cataloguers, and we need to take account of them in developing RDA. We're also looking at ways to value add to resource descriptions through improving co-location using FRBR. Having mentioned FRBR, I'd like to say a little about some of the key documents that are influencing how RDA is being developed. In recent years, two conceptual models have been developed by IFLA working groups. The first of these is the functional requirements of bibliographic records. It relates the data recorded in bibliographic records to the needs of users of those records. And Martha's certainly given you lots of examples of how they can be used by users. RDA will support the FRBR user tasks of find, identify, select and obtain. FRBR also defined the bibliographic entities of work, expression, manifestation and item, and these concepts will be reflected in RDA. RDA aims to improve our ability to reflect, to represent bibliographic relationships, such as between an author and the book they wrote, or between the movie version of Romeo and Juliet and the original play. By providing for the identification and co-location of works, expressions and manifestations, we're hoping that you'll be able to use the data produced using RDA to organise large result sets, the sort of thing that we've been talking about today, in systems, shared databases such as Libraries Australia. And the whole purpose of that, as you know, is to assist catalogue users in navigating to the information they want. Similarly, FRAR, the Functional Requirements of Authority Records, will influence the development of a new section to be added to RDA on controlled access points and authority data. Now, I think FRBR and FRAR hasn't come out in final form yet, but I think people get a bit frightened by the level of conceptualisation in these, but I think using RDA you'll be able to use it and apply it without nearly needing to be fully conversant with these models behind. Another significant development has been IFLA's Statement of International Cataloguing Principles. It's being drafted during successive international meetings, the fourth of which was recently held in Seoul, Korea. It's hoped by many that this document may be the first step in developing an international cataloguing code, and in a way it's like a revamp of the Paris Principles from 1961. There's also been a range of other specific new or revised standards for particular types of material, a few of which I've mentioned on the slide, and they're also influencing how RDA is being developed, particularly as we're trying to improve its coverage of all resource types. So what issues are we facing in developing RDA? I'll start out with three issues that concern our relationship to other standards. We've talked a little bit about ISBD here today. ISBD is the International Standard for Bibliographic Description. And one major difference between RDA and AACR is that RDA won't be structured by the eight ISBD areas of description. And it won't specify the use of ISBD punctuation. In RDA, the guidelines for recording data elements will be independent of the guidelines for data display. These changes have allowed us the freedom to move beyond the ISBD areas, to change the order of elements, to redefine elements and add new elements. And you'll hear a bit more about this later in this session. Another key change will be in the treatment of material designations, GMDs and SMDs. They're the categories of content or carrier, such as photograph or music. And we're changing them to separate terms for content from terms for carrier, with the aim of making them more useful to users and perhaps using them in as part of headings for works, expressions and manifestations. Although discussions on GMDs and SMDs aren't complete yet, it's likely that RDA will have elements for media category, type of carrier and type and form of content. These have been developed from work done by a GMD-SMD working group and also further developed in consultation with the publisher standard Onyx. Onyx is a standard used by publishers for sharing product and supplier information. If we can get an agreed framework, and at this stage it looks likely that we will, it will facilitate the exchange of data between these two communities. There's also an IFLA working group working on this issue too at the moment, called the Material Designation Study Group. And the two bodies are keeping in touch with each other about what's happening. MARC. MARC's standard is a key standard in the library world, and we expect that most RDA data elements can be incorporated into the existing MARC structure, and we're working with the MARC community on that. ACOC and the Canadian Committee on Cataloguing are taking the lead in that. We're identifying areas where MARC may need to change to incorporate new RDA elements, and also we're looking at additional elements that have so far been covered in MARC but not in RDA. So RDA is meant to be, as AICR, the content standard, but in some ways MARC has become a pseudo-content standard for some things. So we're trying to pull back the things that we really need from MARC as well. As we're developing RDA, compatibility between existing records and records created under RDA is a major constraint. We have to ensure that libraries won't need to convert AACR2 records into RDA records. And a simple example of how that constrains us is with Latin abbreviations used in headings. Ideally, we'd want to use the international standards that are there for representing dates at the moment, but to do so would create a difference between AACR2 and RDA headings, so we have to be careful about things like that. So although there won't be a need to convert AACR2 records into RDA records, if libraries want to make full use of its capacity for representing the different FRBR levels and for showing relationships, they might choose to make changes to existing records to make that possible. Another issue that we're dealing with is the role of transcription, which is so important in RDA. In RDA, you'll be able to take what you see on the resource without altering it. That will allow for automated data capture and the reuse of metadata from other sources, which are issues that are very important to library managers in achieving cost efficiencies. But the concern is how to do this without making record matching and duplicate detection more complicated, and how not to lose the value add that's provided by the existing instructions that standardise the data that was recorded. The use of the code by other resource description communities and non-English speaking countries are also key issues. RDA is being developed for use with English language communities, but we are expecting that other countries will continue to translate it and adjust its instructions for language and script. A number of other countries, in particular Germany and France, are looking closely at whether RDA might be able to replace their national cataloguing codes. And so anything we can do to internationalise the code could have great benefits. We're also hoping that by making RDA simpler and covering a wider range of resources, we might be able to meet a broader range of resource description needs and perhaps be used by people outside of the library sector. The last issue I'm covering is one of particular interest to me, which is to do with persistent identifiers and URLs. Pat was saying how the facility is in MARC to add URLs to lots of different fields. And this is one area where the Australian Committee on Cataloguing has taken the lead. And there's been general agreement on the direction that we proposed, and so it looks like persistent identifiers and URLs will be incorporated into RDA. So you want to know how it will look? RDA will be in two parts. As well as a general introduction, each part will also have a new introduction, which will include background information and clear statements of the principles behind the instructions and links to related standards and guidelines. In very broad terms, Part A will cover the elements libraries have traditionally recorded in bibliographic records, and Part B will cover those traditionally recorded in authority records. An overall aim in developing RDA is to provide clear general instructions written in plain English. And we're going to update the examples throughout the standard and improve them. And there's two working groups working on revising and replacing examples while the text of RDA is being prepared. Another change is that the information about a data element will be grouped together. For example, the section on title will include instructions on recording the title and recording notes about the title. Now, today I'm going to give you some more details on how RDA will be organised, but keep in mind that it's a process that still has possibilities for change, so this isn't necessarily how it will turn out. So here's some more detail. Part A will begin with an introduction and general guidelines on resource description and describing relationships. The following five chapters will relate purely to resource description. And you can see that chapters 2 to 5 are organised by the FRBR user tasks they relate most closely to. A major change with this type of organisation is that because the cataloguer isn't using a chapter built around a particular type of resource, you'll be able to describe whatever aspects are relevant. This will be especially useful for digital resources, which, as we know, often cut across the categories in AACR. For example, a web page might be an integrating resource, but also contains sound and pictures. So these chapters 2 to 5 were issued in a draft in December 2005, and we're still working our way through assessing the comments received. There were close to 800 individual instructions that had at least one comment against them, so it's taken quite some time. Chapters 6 and 7 are about bibliographic relationships. The first draft of these chapters was released in August this year, and they're yet to be discussed. Part B will cover access point control or authority control, and we've had some great arguments for why we want this here today. Access point control is one of the key value adds that using catalogue data provides over free text searching. It's vital in giving the user precision in searching. So the instructions will cover construction of controlled access points for persons, corporate bodies and families, plus citations for works and expressions. And those sections will be derived in part from Part 2 of AACR. But there'll also be entirely new material on authority control. Part B will be guided by the FRAR model, and a preliminary draft of Part B is currently being prepared. Each of the current appendices will be revised. Some information will be moved into the main text so that you find everything you need at the time you need it. And other information will be dropped if it's unnecessarily complex or doesn't require standardisation to meet users' needs. And there's a working group looking at appendices A to C. In addition to the current appendices, there will be an appendix or two on data presentation. And this is where you'll find information on how to present RDA elements in an ISBD display or in a MARC record format. The glossary is also being thoroughly revised, and definitions will be incorporated into the body of the text when a new concept is introduced. And in the web product, you should be able to link to those definitions whenever you need them. So who's responsible? This slide shows the groups overseeing the development of RDA. The Joint Steering Committee for the Revision of the Anglo-American Cataloguing Rules, or JSC for short, and I'm looking forward to when we're into RDA and we can find a way of shortening that. It's responsible for the content of the standard, and the other bodies there are responsible for other aspects of it. JSC has six representatives drawn from the library associations, cataloguing committees and national libraries of the four countries represented, Australia, Canada, the UK and the US. Those groups are known as the constituencies. And the JSC also sometimes commissions working groups to look at specific issues in greater depth. JSC are the middle people in that picture. And during the development of RDA, there's also an editor, Tom Delsey, who's on the left there, and a project manager, Marjorie Bloss, who's on the right. Australian representation on JSC is through ACOC. The role of the constituency, such as ACOC, is very different now that we're working on a new standard rather than revising an existing one. Previously, constituencies would put forward rule revision proposals, and they were responded to, decisions made by JSC, and the rule revisions issued. The greater part of JSC work now reverses this, in that the drafts of RDA come from the editorial team through JSC to the constituencies for their comment. This slide shows the timeline for developing RDA. We're aiming to publish RDA in 2008, and there's still an enormous amount of work ahead. In recent years, JSC has met twice yearly, usually in April and October, and the timing of these completed drafts reflects that meeting schedule. As each draft is issued, there's a period of constituency review and discussion at the next JSC meeting. The process of review and redrafting will continue until late 2007, 2008, when the text will be ready to send to the publishers. And if that deadline is met, then RDA will be available in 2008. And if all goes well, it will be coming out at the same time as IFLA's Statement of International Cataloguing Principles is also finalised. As time progresses, assisting libraries with preparing for implementations become an issue. We need to plan for training and documentation and policy development, both for individual libraries and for shared library databases. When RDA is implemented, cataloguers will need some new training to familiarise themselves with the new standard. But in future, we hope that training will be easier because the instructions should be simpler, streamlined and modernised. Local documentation will need to be examined and, if still needed, rewritten. But the resulting documentation likewise should be simpler and easier to maintain. And because RDA will be an online product, you can put your local policies, annotate it with your local policies and so on. Four national libraries have already committed to the implementation of RDA. And the national library members on JSC will work together on implementation plans for our institutions and provide information to the major shared databases, such as Libraries Australia, for them to make appropriate plans. So throughout the process of developing RDA, we've been trying to receive input beyond the committee and indeed beyond the cataloguing community. Besides cataloguers and library managers, there's many other groups who are potentially affected by the changes in RDA, and a few of them are mentioned on the slide. We've got pre-existing mechanisms to deal with, to consult with some of these stakeholders, particularly people like IFLA and Dublin Core. But for some other communities, we don't, and we're getting an outreach group to help us develop the relationships that we need. ACOC 2 is looking for ways to reach out to our stakeholders. In August 2005, we formed a focus group to assist ACOC's three ALIA representatives, and I'll get them to stand up. Eb Curtis, Anne Huthwaite, and Philip Hyder, and the three National Library representatives, myself, Julie Whiting, who can't be here today, and Rob Walls, to present the Australian viewpoint on RDA. And any of us are willing to talk to interested groups, and you can have input to this process through any of us. Contact details for us are all on the ACOC website, and you also have an ACOC leaflet in your bags today. As you can see, between now and 2008, there's a lot of work to be done to create RDA resource description and access. And really, your ideas and participation are really welcome. In fact, I think it's a vital part of the process of making it a new standard for description and access designed for the digital world. Thank you.